Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. You all okay? Everyone well? Particularly welcome to you this morning. If you're here as a visitor, it's great to have you with us. Hey, woohoo! Some whoops. My name's Ian. I'm one of the leaders here. And over the last few weeks, we have been aware, there's been a growing awareness of God's Holy Spirit amongst us. I don't know if others of you have been sensing that and feeling that as well. I've noticed that in a number of different ways. On Sundays, I've noticed that in our worship together. It was great this morning, just how as we were worshiping, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were flowing. People were bringing scriptures that God was laying on their hearts, and people were sort of encouraging one another. I thought that kind of what you brought, Tony, about grace and mercy and justice was really helpful. Jonathan just came and whispered in my ear something which was just really encouraging, Jonathan, because that's very much what I'm preaching on this morning. And so there's a sense that the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us in our worship times. We've seen it in our prayer ministry on a Sunday morning. We've had times where people have been very responsive, where the Holy Spirit has been prompting them to respond, either to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit, or last week we talked about the need to be broken before we can receive breakthrough. We've seen it an increase of the Holy Spirit's presence with us as part of our prayer week. When some of us were there, we prayed through the night at the Open Door Center. We just encountered God's Spirit with us to sustain us as we prayed through the night, but also just there were some sweet times of the presence of God amongst us. The stories that we shared at the end of our prayer week, we had some of our brothers and sisters in the church shared their stories of what it was to receive the Holy Spirit for them a number of years ago and praying for more of that. And there was such a hunger for that amongst us. Even in the possibilities that we are sensing around what God is opening up, potentially around buildings for us. We know for us as a church has been a really important thing that we've been praying into and asking God to move. And it seems like there is stuff opening up in the realm of buildings for us. We're going to share much more about that next week. So if you want to know where we're up to, please be here next Sunday. And the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us. It's not just here at Open Door. I've been chatting with some of my church leader friends in other places and just hearing other stories of what God is beginning to do again. It almost feels like during the season of COVID, it was hard, wasn't it, to continue to meet as church. Obviously, we couldn't meet as church in person, but it was hard to sense what the Holy Spirit was doing at times when we couldn't gather together. But I've sensed that a number of the church leaders that I'm in contact with are saying similar sort of things to what I'm saying. And there's one guy in particular that I was talking to this week. He told me a great story I wanted to encourage you with, that he has recently encountered a lady who is a refugee from Iran, and she had to escape from Iran and go to Lebanon, and was eventually moved from Lebanon to the UK, came here as a refugee. And while she was in Lebanon, she'd met some Christians. It was the first time she'd encountered Christians, and they really, the message that they brought of Jesus' good news really impacted her life. And when she was later in the UK, she got sick, and she remembered that these friends in Lebanon had talked about how Jesus can heal sickness. And so she phoned one of her friends in Lebanon, and the friend prayed with her on the phone. And that night, she had a dream about Jesus. She saw Jesus come to her in a dream and completely heal her. And she knew in that moment that she wanted to follow Jesus. This is a true story. Isn't this amazing? This is a lady who's grown up in a culture where Jesus was never spoken about, where it was seriously frowned upon and seriously dangerous to explore who Jesus is. And so she knew she wanted to follow Jesus, and so she knew that the place to do that was the church, and so she wanted to find a church to come to, but she was very, very nervous about that, very scared about that. It took her a long time to pluck up the courage because she thought that as a Muslim, she wouldn't be welcome in a church. And so she spent quite a few weeks outside looking across the road this church that my friend leads. And then on one day during the week, not on a Sunday, she came in through the doors. And the first person that she met was actually one of their most welcoming people, I'm told. And she got an incredible welcome. But not only that, they also have someone on their team in that church that's worked in the Middle East and speaks Arabic. And so this person that had her language, this lady's language, was able to speak with her. And they opened up the Bible together and they did a discovery Bible study like we've been learning to do. You know, it's a tool we feel is so, so important for us to have. And so they did this discovery Bible story and she encountered Jesus for herself. And she realized that she wanted to follow Jesus. And they got to the bit where they talked about who could you share this with? And she said, I would need to share this with my daughter. I need to share this with my daughter. And so she's been sharing with her daughter. She's been coming to church. She's wanting to get baptized. Just an incredible story of what the Holy Spirit is doing in people's lives, in drawing them, leading them towards Jesus. And I get excited about that, and you can get excited about that too. Isn't that amazing what Jesus is doing? He's doing it here. He's doing it in other places. And it feels like there are waves coming in of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I grew up near the sea. I used to love standing on the beach. I still do. I don't know if you've ever done that and you've seen the tide come in. And what happens is you sort of start with your toes in the water and the waves come in and they lap around your toes and they go back out. And it seems like nothing's really happening for a little while. Maybe everything's stopped. And then the next wave comes in and it comes in a little bit further around your ankles. And then it goes out, the water goes out again. And then it comes back. And if you stand in the same place for a period of time, before long, your knees and then your waist, and eventually you're completely submerged in the water. And it feels like the Holy Spirit is beginning to move on us in that kind of way. And we need more of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Anyone here with me saying we need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives? So let's open up our Bibles to see what Jesus teaches us about this in John chapter 16. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, knowing that very soon he was going to go to the cross. He was choosing to lay his life down by going to the cross. And so he would no longer be with them. And so he'd been talking to them about how he was going to have to go away. And this is what he says. He says, now I am going away. This is verse 5 of John 16. Now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. And you can imagine, can't you, that deep sense of loss for the disciples that they've relied on Jesus being around. Their strength has come from Jesus being amongst them and with them in person. He was their teacher. He was their friend. He was their Lord and Master, the one who they'd given up everything to follow. And they didn't want him to go away. But Jesus goes on. He says, in fact, it is better for you, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And this is an incredible thought, that actually Jesus is saying it's better for you that I, this is God in person as a man, it's better for you that I go away, and that is going to be a better thing for you than if I stay. And there's a couple of reasons that I can think of off the top of my head. The first is because Jesus knew that by going away, the way he was going to go, he was going to go to the cross and he was going to rise again and he was going to go back to be with his Father in heaven. And what that was opening up was an incredible thing for those disciples and for everyone that would come up after and put their faith in Jesus. So it was better from that point of view. But also, he talks about the advocate who he was going to send. And the advocate is one of the names for the Holy Spirit. The advocate, the word advocate means our helper, our intercessor, the one who works for good on our behalf between us and between God. And we can read about the difference the Holy Spirit made in the lives of these disciples. We know from looking at what we know of them in the Gospels to what we know of them in Acts and into the rest of the New Testament, they were transformed from a group of wavering, fearful individuals to people of courage and power on which the church was built. That was the difference that the Holy Spirit made to them. And so the Holy Spirit is an amazing gift to the disciples. The Holy Spirit is an amazing gift to us. He is constantly helping us. He is constantly working for our good. He is constantly bringing glory to Jesus in all things. And how does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, in many ways. He comes as a comforter and as a counselor and as a guide. He empowers us. He helps us to know the Father better. He helps us to pray. He helps us to read our Bibles and to understand our Bibles. And he helps us to bear fruit. So many different things. But today, I want to continue with these very same verses. After Jesus has said, it's better for you that the Helper comes. And I want you to see that this is straight after that moment, as Jesus says, it is better for you that the Advocate comes. What does the Advocate do for our good? Well, we're going to read this, verse 7. We're going to read it in a couple of different versions. Firstly, in the New Living Translation, it says this. Jesus says, in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Let me read that again in the NIV. So Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. This is a heavy piece of scripture. There is a realization of the weight of sin in these verses. What Jesus is saying is that we need the Holy Spirit to come for our good, because we need him to convict us of our sin, to expose our guilt, to emphasize the fact that we are desperately broken and need saving. We need to know we are broken before we can receive breakthrough. Maybe it's just me, but it's not often a prayer that I am praying when I'm asking for more of the Holy Spirit. More, Lord, more, would you fill me with more of your Spirit, that I would be more convicted of my sin? It's not a common prayer, I don't think, amongst Christians. We're praying for more of God's power or more of God's goodness or for gifts of the Spirit. And these verses, just very quickly, I haven't got long to unpack them, but it says the Holy Spirit convicts us that we are sinners, and specifically it refers to our refusal to believe in Jesus. And we've all been in that place, every one of us, whether we know Jesus and believe in him now or not. We've all been in that place where we refused to believe in Jesus. The root of all sin is self-centeredness and selfishness, where we make ourselves Lord of our life, where we consider that everything revolves around us, where we, the